Hey, it's Chaz and AJ.
Hello.
Thank you for listening to our podcast.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoy it. And please subscribe, comment, share, do all those things that make us look good.
And be nice.
Thank you. We have some dogs from Connecticut going to the Puppy Bowl.
Nice.
On the phone right now is Tori, co-founder of Pack Leaders Rescue of Connecticut in East Hartford. One of your players made the game.
Yes, they did. Miss Lulu.
Miss Lulu.
There you go, see?
Miss Lulu going to the Puppy Bowl.
She is the MVP. I just know it.
Really?
MVP's a lot.
All right, so who,
what kind of stats will get you the MVP?
Yeah.
most snacks eaten.
Right. Yep. She runs it all day.
Best snapper.
Nice.
All those good things.
Miss Lulu.
Miss Lulu. Mm-hmm.
I want to see what she looks like.
What kind of dog is she?
She's a little Shih Tzu Pomeranian.
Bless you.
Come here, little Shih Tzu. I can't take that name seriously.
I got little Shih Tzus all over the place. Right. Who left all these little Shih Tzus over the rug?
I just have a Shih Tzu.
This is fantastic. So how does this work? You have to take pictures of the puppy and then send them in, and then they... How does it work?
Yeah, we've worked with Animal Planet for 5 years, and we submit a bunch of dogs and puppies, and they pick a starting lineup. They have to practice, work out, get in shape.
Right, and they chose Lulu the Shih Tzu.
Roll the ball across the floor.
It sounds like a song from the 60s. Lulu the Shih Tzu.
Oh, there she is. People has a whole slideshow of like the 50 plus dogs that are going to be there.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's stiff competition.
Is it really?
Yeah. It's no joke.
It's not, no. You probably should have waited to laugh.
I believed her, and then she laughed.
No, it's super fun, and it brings awareness to rescue animals. Yeah. All the puppies are rescue babies.
That's the most important thing.
Do you find after they're on the Puppy Bowl, they get like, picked up a lot?
Do I what?
After the Puppy Bowl,
hold on.
Folks
put it together in your head. One, two, three, go.
Do you find that after the Puppy Bowl, they get adopted quicker? That's what I said originally.
Not really.
I'm being treated like Shih Tzu around here.
Treated like you're a Shih Tzu.
Thank you.
Yes, it definitely brings awareness to rescue animals and the need for adoptions and fosters and all of that good stuff.
No, but once Miss Lulu was named to the Puppy Bowl, did you get inquiries? Are people already reaching out like, I would like that dog?
They're starting to reach out, yes, for sure.
Yeah.
Give me a Shih Tzu.
Good. And then what happens is, and this was happened to us when we were looking for kitties. We went to a place, and those kitties were not available. So they're like, oh, well, what about these kitties? So
look at these.
It's good for all the dogs.
Yes.
There's some really interesting names in the Puppy Bowl.
Oh, really?
This guy's name is Mr. Tinkles.
Well, you know what he'll be doing.
I wonder why.
There's another dog named Rob Gronchowski.
Is it a chow?
No, oh. I don't know. And then there's a Dalmatian named Pongo. I know Ashley will love that.
Love it.
There's a corgi named Nugget. There's Lulu.
Yeah, stiff competition.
Yeah.
What happens?
And then we do the kitten, the halftime show. So that we brought up 30 kittens and cats.
Nice.
For this big halftime show.
Wait, what?
Since you're a cat lover.
There's cats in the halftime show.
Yeah.
What is the...
Every football game has a halftime
show. It's the Stray Cats.
The kitty halftime show.
So Animal Planet, when they do this Puppy Bowl, what happens? They just... It's a room full of puppies?
They just kind of run around the little field.
What do
field.
They do? Is it like, looks like a football field?
They have a little football field, yeah, and they just kind of hang out.
That is just my heaven. Yeah.
They grab like toys and stuff.
Big football. Exactly. It's a football field. We get craft services.
Wait, it's a real football field.
No, it's a miniaturized one.
It's a miniaturized.
It's a miniature.
Yeah. This is what I'm trying to imagine.
I think you're working to it. It's puppy chaos. For like 5 straight minutes.
Yeah, they just run around.
Yeah, they just run around.
But are people, like, are there announcers trying to, like, tell you what's happening on the field?
They attempt to,
yeah, it's amazing.
They attempt to, yes.
Yes, they do.
So killed Madden. Last year's, maybe we could get a little sample of what it would sound like.
Okay, let's see.
Oh, there's a dog named Pudding.
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 That shit too.
Last year, the Golden Retriever battled with
his bold end zone remodel. Now, Rough teammate Muffin is in a brawl for the ball with Team Fluff's Marshall.
Just two dogs fighting over a toy.
Marshall gets control. I love this. But Muffin doesn't give up and makes her own play for the toy. We have a legit grudge match between these two feisty pups.
Textbook leverage by Muffin as she gets low and digs in.
Marshall flattens Muffin on the 50, but Muffin won't let go.
And then you see that this is what's happening on the screen.
It's two dogs spinning around with a toy, and like they each won't let go.
I'm curious. Does a dog ever tripod all of a sudden, or what?
A what?
A try to what?
Tripod. Poop. I'm trying to be stealth over here.
Are you talking football language?
No. Mm. Poop. Tripod. You know they got a tripod?
Oh, there is. And there's a wheelchair dog.
I saw that this year. Okay, Benny.
Didn't get it at all.
Mm-hmm. No. Why don't you just say...
Do your dogs ever take a dump on the field?
Yes.
Thank you.
They're puppies, AJ.
Is that considered a down?
So they put how many puppies...
That's considered a foul.
On this... It's a... They get
flag on the play.
Right.
Flag on the play. They just stick like a flag in the poo.
Like everybody else does during the game.
All right. Is there a who's in the ref cut? Are there...
Rough.
I really got to Google this. I've never seen it. I've heard about it.
I've never seen the Puppy Bowl?
Yeah,
I've
seen it.
I'm like doing real stuff on Super Bowl, like watching the Super Bowl.
This is the best part of Super Bowl Sunday. Who cares about the other guys?
I agree.
Like the entire planet.
Nah. The ones who are betting on them.
These players are way cuter.
So how many puppies are on this fake little field?
All of them.
Does it just look like there's too many dogs on the field? That's what
no,
I want.
No,
it's chaotic.
Really?
You
really
want chaos?
Is. Yeah.
You want lots of poop on the field?
Well, not poop. I just want to be laying there and have all these puppies like crawl all over me.
Yes.
With their puppy breath.
That's what they should. They should have someone dressed like an 8-year-old kid dressed in a ref costume.
Uh-huh.
And then he goes out there and then just sits down and then the dogs just jump all over him.
Where can I apply?
And then like seconds later,
8-year-old, physically, not mentally.
Oh,
seconds later,
okay.
It's just bones right there. Whoops.
We'll bring 20 down for you to the studio and they can just climb all over you.
Don't say that.
Okay.
Whoa.
You're going to get a call when this building changes protocols.
Yes.
How many puppies do you have at your place, Tori?
We usually adopt out like 150 a month.
Whoa.
Wow, good turnaround.
Yeah. My goodness.
Oh, wow.
Good turnaround.
It is. Wow, that's great. Is this what you do for a living?
It started out as a side passion, and it's taken over my life, yes. And it's amazing.
Are you able to make a living and eat off of it, or how does that
No, work? No, it's a charity organization.
Right. Wow. But there's plenty of dog food to put on crackers.
You're an angel.
Yeah. These
dogs would be...
It survives on donations and adoptions.
Wow.
Nice.
How much food do you go through at that place in a month?
A lot of food.
That's
pounds
my math.
Pounds and pounds.
Pounds and pounds.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
A lot of kibbles and bits. Yep.
And if not for you, these dogs would... How do they come to you?
A lot of them come to us. They're on the euthanization list because they don't have
Jesus.
A space.
Oh, God. Yep.
And we pick up a lot from Tennessee and Arkansas and Louisiana.
What is going on down there?
They've got so many kill shelters. It's horrible.
They do. Oh. And they don't have rules like we do. So it's chaos.
Yikes. Yikes.
So now they have a better life.
Yeah. A
what
life,
an honor
period.
To send,
but Lulu is a
Lulu.
Connecticut native.
Oh, really?
You
born here?
Root for
born
the
and bred?
Girl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's her backstory?
She was dropped off at our facility in East Hartford. They couldn't keep her. She was about 8 weeks old.
Was this one of these COVID things? Like the kid thought they wanted a puppy, and then it was like, it's a little too much.
I can't take the shit.
No, I think it was. I think they just made a bad decision. They weren't ready for a puppy.
Okay.
Puppies aren't easy, but they are cute. That's why.
They're so damn cute. But there's all of that other stuff that comes with the cuteness.
Puppies ain't.
Right.
Can you imagine if God didn't work that one out? Like, they eat and they pee and poop everywhere. They chew everything. They make a lot of noise. They have a lot of energy. They always want to do something, and they're not cute.
I know.
These kids are.
That'd be a problem.
Oh. Dogs.
I know. Be like, my last relationship.
Yeah. Treat everything up.
Yeah, that's interesting when you go out on a first date. I'm like, oh, you have any pets? Yeah, I have 150 dogs every month.
Yeah.
Oh.
Check, please.
You need a plastic bag for food. You have one in your pocket.
How are you even here right now?
Right.
YouTuber. This is his title now. You post videos on YouTube and you become a YouTuber.
You can make a lot of money doing that.
I don't think this guy does.
You're a large wind instrument, YouTuber.
YouTuber Alex Stein is going viral for a crazy rap about COVID-19. He delivered the rap about the vaccine during an open mic session.
He heard open mic.
Yep.
He was like, ah.
They shouldn't have told him that.
I'm needed.
Of the Dallas City Council meeting.
My name's Alex Stein. I'm here today because we got to vaccinate our children. I've figured a way where I think we can make it, I don't know. Like,
he run there?
I guess more hip.
I know.
Did we miss the freestyle?
He must have been outside and said, they're doing it! He ran like 3 flights of stairs across this large building. Finally gets to the mic. Hi, I'm Alex.
I've figured a way where I think we can make it, I don't know, like, I guess more hip.
Would
the real Dr. Fauci please stand up? Please stand up.
Oh, no.
Please stand up. Vaccinate your mom. Vaccinate your dad. Vaccinate the happy.
What's vaccinate?
Vaccinate the sad. Vaccinate your babies. Vaccinate them, even if they got rabies. Vaccinate my life. Vaccinate
what?
My wife. Vaccination.
Hold on. How do they not turn this mic off?
Just throw them out.
Rabies and life also don't rhyme.
just say there's a phone call. Go get it.
All right.
Let's vaccinate.
Even if they got rabies, vaccinate my life, vaccinate my wife, vaccinate your DNA, vaccine created by the CIA.
How did I hear that gavel come out? Okay.
Right.
All right. Thank you.
No, he wanted his...
Next, please. There are people here with important things to say.
He wanted his head.
Thank you.
Toot, toot, toot. Stop it, stop it, stop it, stop it.
It's pretty horrible.
I'm just picturing the whole committee doing the thing where you like pinch the bridge of your nose with your thumb and your forefinger. Like,
right.
Or you hold lower because it stinks.
Or they're dancing.
Yes.
They're doing synchronized
That'd
dancing.
That'd be better.
Vaccinate
down.
Your body. Vaccinate me at the party. Vaccination freak a leak. I want the vaccine in my life. I want the vaccine for my wife. I want to vaccinate you all day long.
Can you imagine if you're there waiting to speak about something important?
You have something really important to say.
Oh, this guy's going to go, wants to go viral, so now I have to sit here.
Right. Here's Sugar Cube.
This is Dallas, by the way. This isn't some place in the middle of the country where there's 8 people. This is Dallas, a major metropolitan city in the United States of America, and he's still going.
I'm going to hear any, like, guns clicking right now. Bunch of safeties released.
Right.
Bunch of cocking going on.
I love that scene. Any scene in a movie where a guy is like reaching for something and then every gun cocks at the same time. Because no one already had a bullet cocked and loaded.
Right.
So like, we all have to pull back right now. Right. Click, 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 click. It's like 17 clicks.
Vaccinate you while I wear my thong. Vaccinate me. Vaccinate who? Vaccinate she. Vaccinate her. Vaccinate them. Vaccinate my friend. I want to vaccinate to the end.
Wow. And that's not even the whole thing.
No, it gets worse.
Wow.
Worse than that?
I think you should be allowed to do this. However, the council has the option to tase you.
Nice.
You know, if you get up there to do some, I'm going to be viral at this town council meeting, city council meeting. Okay. Good luck.
Or do it Caesar style. Thumbs down. Kill him!
Every meeting, a different council member has the taser.
Right.
Vaccinate me, pure air. I love you. What can I say? DNA, I love you. I got the pure L, feeling pure, so clean. Got the Lysol, because I'm calling Paul. Do you got to clean the mic? You got to vaccinate. You going to get corona from Mona. Don't vaccinate. Don't wait. Don't hesitate.
Who's Mona?
You got to vaccinate in the Lone Star State. Vaccination is so great. Vaccinate me all day long. Vaccinate
I wonder if someone's
up,
like, often the corner on the phone with mental health people. Like, hey, we got one here for you. Bring the straitjacket.
We have someone here.
Yes, right now.
Quick.
No, now.
Right now.
Can't, nope, not 2 minutes from now.
No, no,
now.
He's here right now.
Right now.
Right. What do you do if you're at the meeting and you can't let this person walk out? Right?
Well, you keep them occupied at first.
They have to be evaluated.
Right. Keep them occupied, lock the doors. We're going to just keep an eye on you for a second here.
Yeah, we got to watch you because you go off and do something nutty now. We'll have to say, yeah, we saw that one coming.
Yeah.
It's at the meeting for like 4 minutes.
Vaccinate me at the party. I vaccine dream. I love the vaccine all day long. I want to vaccinate your mom. I want to stick
what?
It in
Hello.
Your arm. Omar, where are you? I want to vaccinate you, but you can't hear my song.
This is
vaccinate
Dallas.
Me.
Yep.
Man.
He's pronounced vaccinate about 7 different ways.
Yes, he is. He was like spraying Purell into his face, by the way.
Yeah, that was the beginning part.
Yeah.
This is why I think everyone's giving him a wide berth and just like letting him go. It's like, okay, man.
Yeah, he'll just kill himself.
Not going to get involved.
It'd be nice if they can lasso him to like a bull.
Right.
A rope is on his leg and he just, goodbye.
Lead him to the window. I'll open it.
Not that there would be a bull in the Dallas City Council meeting.
But. No. Just saying.
It in my thong. Vaccination, right or wrong. Dr. Fauci, give me that ouchie. I want it in my body. Vaccinate me too. Go to the party. Omar is back. Vaccinate me, white or black. Vaccinate you, know, you. Vaccinate who? Vaccinate you all day long. Vaccinate your dad and mom. Vaccinate me in my thong. Vaccinate
again the
mayor. I am a vaccination player. What can I say? I'm the.
I just want to hear a giant frying pan hit him in the head.
Bing.
Bing. Cast iron.
We had to do it.
Cast iron.
We had to do it.
Bing. He's got to stay down.
He was running rampant.
I don't know.
Implode the person.
Wow, you're enjoying this, Ashley?
He rhymed Fauci with ouchie. I mean, that's worth a couple of points right there, I think.
He rhymed thong with mom.
It's good. He's a good rhymer.
He rhymed body with party somehow.
Body, body.
Nine and nine. On the ground all the time. I blow your mind. I spit the rhyme. I commit the crime. I'm always on time because I'm 99. Alex, that. And I grind a shot and I blow your mind one more time.
Vaccinate. Is there anyone in the room?
Vaccinate.
You're right. Everybody left a long time ago.
Did they all get up, like, grab their little notebooks and just walk off? Like,
didn't
all right,
say
it.
Acknowledge
here.
Them. Just,
all right.
Yep, just filed out.
This is the part of the meeting. Nothing gets done. I'm going to go home.
Yeah,
I got the kids. I got dinner. I got
lunch.
Work
yeah.
tomorrow.
Yes.
Okay. Goodbye, everybody.
Yep. He's done, right?
How does that go on that long?
I don't know.
Wow. I need paintball guns or something.
Seriously.
There's also way too many Alex Stein YouTube. Like, I don't know which one is hit. Like, I've been looking for this account now. Because I'm like, well, what does he actually do? Because it's not rap.
Yeah.
It's not.
No.
You wouldn't last that long in New Haven.
No, not at all. Why was he out of breath first?
Right.
Before he even started.
Yeah, was he like...
Was rehearsing outside?
Dodge security to get inside?
Yeah. He rappelled from the ceiling.
He broke free from security and grabbed the mic. Here are some vanity plates, license plates, that were requested but rejected from Connecticut DMV last year. This is a story in the Connecticut Post yesterday. Mommy AF.
Okay.
Now... We all know what AF stands for,
yep.
right?
So, you know, your mommy AF.
I don't think that's bad.
All friendly?
All friendly. Mommy all friendly.
Apparently, that sounds like a blog, probably.
It is.
Yeah.
It's a blog.
Yep.
You want to look it up, Ashley?
Got to promote sure. myself.
Could be a nice.
Go look up that blog, Mommy Could... AF. Hi, I'm Mommy AF.
Could be Automatic Farter.
Mommy Automatic Farter.
Oh, there are so many.
Oh, really? You Suck is a plate that did not get past the censors.
That was for Connecticut.
Farty. F-A-R-T-Y-Y.
Oh, come on.
Extra
What's
farty.
Wrong with
yeah.
that?
Why not?
I'm extra farty.
Yep. Farty. Maybe they're saying 40. Farty.
Farty.
I'm right. 40 years
I'm
old.
Farty.
I'm 40 years old.
I'm Scottish and I'm farty.
Look at me. I'm farty. I've been my farties for 10 years.
Oh, Farty the Leprechaun.
In 2021, Connecticut recorded $50,000 in revenue from at least 962 requests for vanity license plates. But the DMV can reject vanity license plate requests for a number of reasons, including offensive phrases legal advice, or duplicate entry.
Or it's Tuesday.
At least 36 of the rejected plates between October 2020 and September 2021 included profane language, references, or slurs. 14 contained just numbers.
That they rejected?
No, you can't just have like 1, 2, 3. Apparently there's got to be a letter in there. No. I don't know. That were just numbers.
Song by the Jackson 5, too.
I did remember, I saw one guy driving a Porsche. This is years and years ago, and his license plate was I4C14U2.
Oh, that's cool.
That was pretty cool.
That is neat.
I like not paid for. You know, not paid was number four. Not paid for.
Yet.
A handful attempted to substitute the letter O for zero, which is against the state rules.
Why?
I guess when you're calling it in.
Okay. Imagine you're a cop. I'm chasing Farty.
Who are you chasing?
I'm going after Farty.
Double
Farty.
Y.
Look
yak,
for cars.
Yak.
Look for Farty. Doesn't sound good. Episode of Cops.
I am chasing Farty.
IH number 8 CT.
I hate Connecticut.
CT.
Hey, Connecticut. The governor wanted that one, right?
Shocker, that one got rejected.
Wouldn't that be a great one for the governor's car? Just as a joke. Can we have a sense of humor here?
Yeah.
A lot of plates rejected if they had a reference to ISIS or the mafia.
Yep. Ooh, that makes sense, course. Too.
Some versions of F-U, F-off, various versions. Were among common phrases rejected by the DMV.
Years ago, I saw it spelled phonetically. P-H-U-Q-U-E.
Yeah. I wonder if they recall them. Is there anyone listening who had a plate and the DMV said, yeah, you know, it's different now. Got to take that plate back.
Sorry.
Sorry. Yeah. Sorry. Sorry about that, chief.
Yeah. We'll get the money. But
yeah. That's right. That's right. They're so good at
we're
that.
Stupid.
Oh, no, wait. Well, we had to make the plate, right. So we're going to keep the money.
Keep the money, yeah.
We don't give back the money. Get the plate back. Stay. We don't plan.
You can take off the car and use a decorative thing in your man cave.
Who's going to make a plate, then give the money back?
God's sake.
Come on. John in Fairfield.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Good, thank you.
You're ready.
Hey, I just wanted to share with you guys a strange and a little annoying thing about the state of Connecticut. Did you know that veteran plates are considered vanity plates, and veterans have to pay to get a veteran plate?
Is that right?
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Thank you.
When I thought
kind
I
owe you on this one, you know?
It's just insane.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
seems like it would be free.
I think everything should be free. Yeah. If you fought, free.
Yeah, I was in the Persian Gulf.
Oh, man, thank you.
Thank you. That was not a picnic.
Well,
no.
That wasn't like, you know, and no disrespect, but it wasn't like you were in North Carolina peeling potatoes. I mean, you, and no disrespect to anyone who didn't get, you know, a lot of people want to go, and, you know, you got to go where they tell you to go.
Yeah.
But thank you. And now you got to pay for your
you're
play.
You're welcome. You're welcome. You're welcome. It was an easier war, though. Let's admit it. It was when I joined, you know, I was expecting on a med cruise, so I'm at St. Invaded Kuwait, and it was really more of an air and Navy war. I was in the Navy, but it was quick, right? I have a lot of respect for the people who had to go for the much harder things, so.
Right. Iraq, not so easy.
Respect for all of you.
Yeah, well, yeah.
So, all right.
But, hey, thank you guys for everything you do.
Thank you.
No, man.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. That, I believe, is going to be my goal, our goal, for this show, for this year. We're going to rally to get these plates to be free.
Free. I love it.
How much could it possibly cost this friggin' state? When
seriously.
They hand out free stuff to anybody. Hi, I just came over from...
Here, have some money.
Name a country.
Here.
I need stuff.
Yes. Here.
That's fine. Okay, good. But these people?
Yeah. Take care of them first.
Now, we fought this fight when they came out with the Gold Star plate. Do you remember this?
Yes, I do.
The Gold Star is something you do not want.
No.
That means you lost a child in combat.
Yeah.
And they wanted to charge for
wanted
this
money.
Plate. They introduced, hey, we got this great thing we're going to do to honor the parents who lost loved, you know, children in a... And it was like, well, we're going to charge for it.
Wow.
We went bananas. And I will say, it didn't. The fight wasn't a hard fought fight. Like they
backed up.
We started
really.
Making. I think in a week, yeah. we had this done.
That was another short war.
Yeah, rightfully so.
Yep.
All right, I'm going to write that down. Right. We were talking the last couple of days. We need to set yeah. some goals for the show.
That's a great goal.
All right, goal number one:
veteran plates.
Veteran plates
for
free. Free. Free.
Don't even think of it.
Isn't that an insult?
Yes, yeah. it is.
It's maddening. It just made me mad.
It's a small thing, but
I know
it says
it's not hard
so
to
much.
Do. Yeah, I know it's easy to make me mad, but this is making me mad.
Like saying hi, for example.
I know what I'm saying. Yeah.
Hi.
This is... No. It's... Think about
That's
this.
That's dumb. That's just stupid.
Hey, Chaz, can I ask you something?
Pizza's here.
Oh.
Talking to the mouthpiece.
Right.
Colin Quinn, can you get on a good phone? No, but this is, if you think about it, you sign your name.
Yeah.
It's like, I am going to become property of the United States government.
I'm going to risk my life.
No, they tell you, do 2,500 push-ups. Okay. Yes, sir.
My yep. body is
Thank
your
you,
body.
Thank you, sir. All right, you're going to go over here, put this gun on, and yeah, go over there. Yeah, yeah, right. No, keep going. Keep going. Like in Goodfellas. No, keep going. Right down there. Yeah. Right down there. Down the... No, turn in right there. Right there.
He's waiting for you.
Yeah, he's waiting for you. Yeah. I don't think so. No, you got to go. And then you get back and you're like, I would like a license plate that people... So I could show that I'm a proud veteran.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be $69, please.
Nope.
Wow.
Dumb. How dare
how
you?
How the hell long has this been going on?
Seriously.
Apparently the whole time.
Yep. Yep. Put an end to that.
I see those plates all the time. If it's funny because if someone cuts you off in traffic, you're like, hey, you, but. Oh, veteran.
Never mind.
You can cut me off anytime.
Exactly. My bad. Yeah. I apologize.
That's right. Holy crap. All right. Goal number one for the year. All right. We're going to, we're getting calls now on these plates.
Oops.
Really? Three?
Four.
Four?
Four?
Yeah. Oops.
All right. Paul in Newington.
Hey, man.
Hey. Yo.
Hey, man, what's going on? This is Paulie from Newington. So I moved here from New York, and I had to go into the DMV, you know, stand online yeah. and want to kill myself. I
Sorry.
Finally got up to the counter. You know, they called my number. I get up there, and I tried to get away with – I was seconds away from getting D's nuts. I don't know if I'm allowed to even say that.
Sure.
D-Z-N-U-T-S.
Yeah.
So she started to write it down like no problem because I spelled it that way. I went D-Z-N-U-T-S. She said, okay. And then she starts to tell me how much more it's going to cost. And then I guess she read it. And she just kind of stopped and looked up at me. And she was like, no, honey, ain't going to happen.
No, honey. So,
just say I make yeah. I sell nuts for a living.
Right. No, that's my company.
Yeah, these nuts.
These nuts.
Yeah.
So close.
They're cashews.
So close.
Yep. Oh, well.
Good morning, Jimmy.
Good morning.
Morning.
It was big. And it was actually the anniversary of a great show at Toad's that happened how many years ago? Let's see. 32 years ago.
Huh.
Man, you are good at math.
Seriously.
Yes.
My shoes are off right now.
Not much else, but math I am good at.
Math. He knows to the penny like a show when he's back in the day when you'd cash out at the end of the show. But yeah. In 39 cents.
He's the original calculator.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who stole a penny from me?
Right.
Right.
So what was the anniversary?
Bob Dylan at Toad's Place.
Oh, wow.
January 12th,
1990. Wow. Wow.
His, one of his probably top five classic shows of all time.
I was there. Toad's. I have to say, I left early. It was too much for me.
So did I. And it was my show.
Even Bob left. Bob left, too.
6-hour show.
Yeah, I looked at Brian, I looked at Mike, and I said, hey, guys, you know what? It's past midnight. I'm leaving. I'm tired.
I beat the crowd.
So I missed the Stones at Toad's. And, you know, Bob Dylan was months after, not long after, within a year after, and everybody, yeah. I thought, you know, I'm not a yeah. Bob Dylan fan, but I'm like, I want to see a legendary, I want to be part of that.
Yeah. part
magic,
of history.
Magic dust. So I get there, and it's like, well, I'm not really into Bob Dylan, am I?
I'm waiting for his three songs I like.
Like 20 minutes in, I'm like, yeah, okay, this is nice. And then an hour, then two, and then three. I'm like, ooh, I don't know if I can do
pizza.
This.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's like leaving during a wedding ceremony. It's like, yeah, how do I sneak out this side door here?
Pretty simple. You go out for smoke and come back.
Yeah.
Well, probably the only time he ever sang a Bruce Springsteen song.
Oh, damn.
He did dance. He did, started taking requests. Somebody requested Dancing in the Dark.
Really?
Dancing in the Dark.
He didn't do the dance in the video, did he?
Are you kidding?
Nope. And the ultimate irony was the first time Bruce and Bob ever met was actually at the New Haven Coliseum. When Bruce came up to see the Rolling Thunder review, I think that was in 1975. So it was sort of appropriate that he played his Bruce Springsteen song in New Haven.
In New Haven.
Wow.
So you were, all right, let's see, there's a lot here to chew on, and then we're going to get to this announcement that came yesterday, and advance tickets on sale today, and we're going to try to squeeze a code out of Jimmy, all of this coming up. But let's talk about this Bob Dylan show. I didn't know he played Dancing in the Dark. Like, he had a request time?
Yeah, he started to take requests from the audience because he was running out of songs.
Right. At that point, you just try and say, okay, I'm going to go home now.
Wow. But you know what it says? It says he was having so much fun that he didn't want to leave.
Right.
Yes. Exactly
or like
right.
Didn't want to go home because something going on in their house.
Jimmy, didn't he ask him if he could money. Stay?
What's that? Yeah, he asked to play. He did ask to play Toads. He was rehearsing for going back on the road. He lived nearby, not in Connecticut, but in New York. And he wanted a club nearby, and his manager, who has always been a very good friend of mine, called me up and said, it was sort of like the Stones the year before, where should we play? He wants to play a quiet place where only a few hundred people are at. He wants to try out all the songs he might play in a set, and he wants to try it all at once. I said, oh, that's going to be like a two and a half hour show. Then he goes, well, it'll be 2 hours. And it ended up being 4 hours, four sets. Songs that he played, songs that he had never played, and he was just having such a great time.
Four hours. He meant 2 hours at a time.
6 hours is in my mind.
Right.
It felt like six when
I think
left.
You might be right. I think it went from 8 to 2. I think you're actually right. I think it went from 8 to 2.
Because wow. I remember Sam was there, and I was with Sam, and I left. I was like, yeah, I got that thing tomorrow.
It's called life.
And I saw Sam life. The next day, and you know when Sam gets excited, his eyes were like giant white.
Oh, my God, huge.
White saucers.
Yeah.
It's like, Chaz, he played for over 6 hours.
I just
man.
Got home.
I'm like, that, it made me feel relieved. Like I made the right decision
yes.
to leave. It wasn't like I left and I missed the. Then he closed the show with Stairway to Heaven. And Robert Plant came out.
Right.
He did play All Along the Watchtower.
Wow.
Right. The Jimi Hendrix came out.
He did. He did. It wasn't easy to get him.
Well, that's got to be, when you had that call from Bob Dylan's manager. And he's talking to you about this. Clearly, he trusts you. Yeah, he's like, I know who to call. I know where we're going to go. And as he's saying this, do you almost want to drop the phone? You know, you got to play it cool, like a poker game? Or what's your reaction to this?
Oh, I didn't play it cool. No, I don't play it cool. No. If
oh
you don't
God.
Show excitement to these managers that you're really excited at what they're offering you,
oh, right.
They
oh.
wouldn't be happy with you. So,
well played. Yes.
And look, I like Bob Dylan's music. I don't love Bob Dylan's music. I'm not the biggest fan. I like his hits, but I never really went deep on his albums. But I pretended to be, you know, this is going to be the greatest thing that ever happened.
Yeah.
But it was only a year after the Stones happened for my birthday, so clearly it was never going to be the greatest thing that ever happened.
Right. No, that doesn't. Rolling
that,
Stones
though.
Playing your 40th birthday, nah, you're not going to beat that yeah. one.
After like not playing for a long time together,
yeah,
it was
the
very
Stones
special.
Played
That's
eight
true.
Years together, and plus, That's they right. gave me a birthday gift.
Yep,
they gave you great. Money. That is so. Does it get better than that?
My birthday is December 10th.
That's better than like Van Halen coming to play your birthday party. I'm sorry,
whatever.
High
Stones.
School prom. Yeah. It is the Stones played my 40th birthday. They hadn't played together in 8 years, and then they gave me a check.
Unreal.
I always preferred the check for a birthday gift, no matter who gave it to me.
Yeah.
I like the check. Buy me a tie. Give me a check. I like
cash.
It.
So this Bob Dylan meeting Bruce Springsteen at the New Haven Coliseum, was that one of your shows?
Yeah, it was my show. It was Rolling Thunder Review, Bob Dylan's Rolling Thunder Review. Joan Baez, Joni Mitchell was on the show. And
wow.
We had it in Waterbury. We had it in Hartford. We had it in Springfield. But Bob invited Bruce up to the New Haven Coliseum show. And there's actually pictures of them meeting for the first time that can be had. I think it's on Wolfgang's Vault. You can find that picture.
Bob, Bruce. Bruce, Bob.
Yeah, and they, they're talking backstage in one of the dressing rooms.
That's wild. I want to see that picture. That's insane. Was there any moment where you had an opportunity to be in the room with both of them?
I wish I could say yes, but no. I wish I could lie and say yes, but no. I was never there. I mean, I was at the show, but I was not at their meeting.
Right. Jeez.
Yeah, really. Can you imagine?
Did you see Bruce? I mean, you must know that. Like, someone must tell you, like, hey, guess who's your... Showed up, Bruce Springsteen.
Well, yes, Bruce wasn't that big yet. I mean, Bruce just was putting out Born to Run. He was not really the biggest star in the world.
Okay. I gotcha. So it doesn't seem like this superpowers uniting meeting.
Yeah. Right.
It's like, there's
an up-and-comer.
Right. Now,
and a star, yes.
It's a big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now
Question. Now it's very different now.
It's very different now. So this show that was announced yesterday was text worthy. I got texts from all over, folks telling me, hey, do you see what's coming to Toad's Place?
Yeah, really. Really.
Jude does.
Jude's excited, too.
Jude's very happy.
Like
Jude
on cue.
For sure.
Wow.
But we were very excited. You know, we talked about it a lot, trying to get him into town. He had a tour built around the Guns N' Roses shows because he was opening up Guns N' Roses. And as we call him Wolfie, he ended up postponing some dates in Canada and opened up because he couldn't get into Canada and out of Canada because of COVID. He was able to add some dates in the U.S., and we were lucky enough to get one of them.
Wow.
So Mammoth VH playing Toad's Place.
Oh, wow. That's huge. Really.
Yeah, I mean... In all honesty, I offered them Oakdale, but they wanted to play the smaller room.
How many seats does Oakdale have?
I think we'll sell somewhere around 750, 800 tickets.
750, 800. Oakdale.
Oh, Oakdale.
Yeah.
3,500 tickets.
3,500 at Oakdale, and Wolfie wanted 750, 800.
Yeah, there are three setups at Oakdale, 2,500, 3,500, and 4,500. I thought the show would be worth between 2,500 and 3,500 tickets, so I said, well, we won't open up the balcony, and we'll keep everybody downstairs, and we'll do 3,500. And they decided, no, they want to play it small, they want to make an impact, and who's to argue?
Right.
It tells you how he was raised. I mean, here's a kid who was raised by one of the greatest guitar players that ever lived. Game-changing guitar player.
Yeah.
This kid could start out at Oakdale. And he's like, no, I want to earn it. I want to play Toad's Place.
Good.
Give his mother some credit also.
Yes.
I've met Valerie a number of times, who traveled with Eddie a number of times, because she had to keep an eye on Eddie.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right.
So we'd always know Valerie, if possible, if she wasn't filming a TV show, Valerie was on the road with Eddie. And Valerie at times acted like Eddie's watchdog. And so I met Valerie a number of times and couldn't meet a nicer person.
And Mammoth VH not playing alone.
No, there's this other band called Dirty Honey that I never had heard of, and they opened up the Black Crowes show up at Xfinity last summer. And after the show, I heard so much good stuff about Dirty Honey. I guess they put a tour together, which was really nice, and it's a co-headline tour, and which surprises me because of Wolfgang's brand, you know, that Van Halen name. It's not Mammoth, it's Mammoth VH, so he's using his last name. And I think that it says a lot about the show itself.
That's nice.
And, you know, when I was reading this, Jimmy, it felt as if Mammoth VH would be opening the show. It felt like it was this other band with Mammoth VH.
Well, that's what it looks like, but I don't know what the story is yet. It's too early to know who's opening. They might be switching off, which a lot of co-headliners do. They, you know, every Monday one act opens, and then Tuesday the other act opens, and they switch it off. Or if there's a favorite market, like let's say that a band is more popular in one market, they'll close the show, but if they're less popular in another market, they'll not close the show. I've had artists call me up and say, or agents actually say, who should close and who should open.
Oh, wow.
It happened with Billy Joel and Elton John, actually.
Wow.
When they played together in Connecticut, the agents called me up and said, who's bigger? Because the bigger act should close the show. And in Connecticut, with all due respect to Elton John, Billy Joel's the bigger act in Connecticut.
Yeah, no doubt.
But if you go down to other markets towards the Midwest, where Billy's not as big as Elton opened up those, and Billy opened up those shows, right, and Elton closed it.
Interesting. So Mammoth VH featuring Wolfgang coming to Toad's Place March 27th. Tickets on sale tomorrow, but there's a pre-sale event today.
With a secret code.
The secret code. If only we had the secret code.
How can we get the secret code? Who do we know has that?
Who would have something like that? Hmm.
Jamie Neal?
My mother always told me, just say please.
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 And all you have to do is answer. It's one word, Young Guns.
And is it case sensitive?
Nope. Although every email I get about it, it's all lowercase. But I do not believe it's case sensitive. But I can tell you, though, every email I get is lowercase.
So let's
one
go,
word, lowercase.
Let's go with the lowercase. How much are these tickets?
Well, that's something that's surprising also. They're only $35.
Nice.
This is nuts. Well, he doesn't need the money.
No.
Yeah.
You know what? Even though you don't need the money,
you can
you
get
still
it.
Want the money.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah.
Can I have it?
Because part of it is you can pay your crew more. I mean, I'm guessing the more you get paid, the more you could pay your crew.
Right. And you know, the richest people still want to make money. The richest people still work to make money. And, it's rare when somebody does this. It's really very customer-friendly, fan-friendly what he does. $35. You can't beat that.
I agree. Everything about this kid, you know, interviewing him or hearing about how he's maneuvering himself through this career and after the death of his father, very public death that he had to share with the world. There's nothing in here that makes you think
he's a class act.
Yeah, he's totally a class act.
Yes,
100%.
Yep.
So
I wonder if he's going to continue to be a bass player. He is the son of the greatest guitarist, lead guitarist of his generation. And he played bass because he was in Van Halen and his dad was the lead guitarist. How could he play lead?
Yeah.
Right.
So I'm very interested to see in Mammoth, does he continue as a bass player or does he turn into a lead guitarist? I don't know the answer to that. And secondarily, he's got a really good voice. And his background vocals were really strong in Van Halen. Is he the lead singer? I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah.
I hope so. And I, you know, we talked to him about playing Van Halen music, and he's like, no, not going to happen. And I hope that it's like the Beatles when they broke up, you know, Paul didn't play the Beatles for a while to establish himself. But I hope once Wolfie's established, he embraces that.
I do, too. I don't agree with people who feel differently. I think carrying the mantle is something very important and people want to see and people should be proud of it. You know, the most famous one was John Fogerty wouldn't play Creedence Clearwater music for so long.
Right.
And as soon as he started to sell a lot more tickets, I could tell you that.
Yep. He said, oh, it's clear water to me.
The last time Van Halen played in Connecticut, it was Hartford at the Xfinity. And it was, thanks to you, Jimmy, a Chaz and AJ present Van Halen. And I am going bananas trying to find a copy of that ticket now because I want to make something for the house because it really is a special thing to have.
I may have it somewhere in my house.
Yeah, I'm not counting on that.
Thank you.
Jimmy, do you know how I've seen some Zoom background of your house.
Yes.
If it's in your house, you're not finding it.
No.
Jimmy, is there a way to get something like that? Like your archivist? Or
I will look for it, yes. I will see if we have it.
You're the man. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Then there is other Van Halen-related type news.
Yes, the one lead singer that hasn't retired, Sammy Hagar, I have been asked over and over again to get him back into Connecticut, and we have finally done it. And we will announce it in a couple of weeks. We'll announce it, and it will be down at the Harvard Healthcare Amphitheater.
Listen to Jude is so excited with today's news.
Yeah.
Yes. So that'll be Jude's excited. She's going to buy tickets as soon as Sammy goes on sale.
She's trying to tell us.
Right.
We just can't. What is it, Jude?
Right.
She's telling me Amazon is here.
Oh.
Amazon is everywhere, so it's here also.
Built-in security system.
Yeah.
Yeah, great. This was, I was blown away by this news as well, because every time we went to the phones for you, this name always came up. And then not only is it this name, but there's another big name on this bill.
That is true. I won't get into yet,
right,
because I'm not supposed to announce this tour. The show won't be going on sale for a couple of weeks.
Okay.
Won't be announced for a week. But, yes, there's another artist, another guy on the show that is probably close to equally as strong as Sammy. It's going to be a great show, and it'll be at the Harvard Healthcare Amphitheater in Bridgeport.
On a weekend night, a Friday night, right?
Yes, on a Friday night.
Awesome. Correct.
Which is, you know.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Well, we did it. Make sure you guys can
actually go.
That's all. It's all about you guys. You know that. Yeah.
Thank you.
We go to bed early.
Yep. Yeah. Not that night.
Not that night. Yeah. So very exciting. Very exciting. And then Michael Lang, a creator of Woodstock. Would you call him a creator? Co-producer?
Well, he was the co-promoter, co-producer of 1969's Woodstock. And then I worked with him in 1994. On Woodstock 94, so I got to know him pretty well. I met with him once a week because we once a week decided who would be on the show. We had a list of names of everybody who wanted to be on the show. The vote was always 3 out of 4 had to say yes in order to get the show. It was a guy named Jeff Rowland, John Scher, Michael Lang, and myself. The four of us were the deciders of who got on Woodstock 94.
That's like the Justice League.
Yeah,
it's
is.
It's like all the heavy hitters, you know?
Yes, I was involved on the talent side. I give Michael and John Scher more credit than I should get for doing Woodstock 94. They did the operational side also. I was more on the talent side than anything else. And we had a lot of good times together, a lot of good talks, a lot of good meals together, a lot of fun talking about all the different artists we wanted and didn't want. We approached some. We had some great acts, you know, if you look at the schedule of who played on Woodstock 94. I mean, it closed with Aerosmith and Metallica. How much better can you get than that?
Yeah.
Right?
Nuts.
So, I mean, it was just really special. And as we played on the show previously, I got to introduce Traffic, which was a personal favorite of mine. So it really was a great time. It went off great. It ran well. Woodstock 94, and we all celebrated afterwards. We pulled it off.
Do you think that his Woodstock in 69, was that a lot of luck that it
well,
went
it was
so
a,
well?
It was a ton of luck. You know, he'll admit that he had no idea what was going on. He found the site 2 weeks before the show actually happened.
Wow, my God.
So he barely could prepare the site, and he didn't make money on it, but Warner Brothers bought the rights to the movie, and then they made a lot of money from the movie. So, ironically, the concert didn't make money, but the movie made a lot of money. So they did very well by it.
Cool. Came from somewhere.
And I always called Michael the original hippie. He was, you know, into peace, love, and happiness, and wasn't into making money, which... I'm a blend, and every once in a while, I am a hippie, but I'm a capitalist hippie.
Exactly, right.
And so every once in a while, we would get into these heated discussions. Great idea, Michael, but it's going to cost us $100,000 for this idea. We can't do that idea. Well, I really think it would be cool, it would be hip. It's all about the earth. It's all about this, all about that. And I go, yeah, I'm into all that stuff, but I'm not spending a lot of money on it.
Mm. You go tell the boss. I'll be over here.
Yeah.
Well, it was good because the people that backed the show were into making money, so I usually won the argument.
Nice.
Yeah. Well, Jimmy, thank you so much for coming out. Colin Quinn on the phone. Good morning.
Guys, you've gone too far this time. First of all, Let me start by saying, was that Phil that answered the phone?
Yes. Probably, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he doesn't even say his name. And I'm talking to him like a stranger.
You know who I am.
Phil, nobody's famous. If I talk to Leonardo DiCaprio on the phone, he has to go, it's Leo. So I don't know why you get to not identify your name. What do you mean? You know, I recognize your voice automatically.
Yeah, really.
Have you ever spoken to Leo DiCaprio?
No.
No.
Okay. But I saw him walk by me once with like a posse in his, and he had like an attitude on his face. And I could tell, this was only a couple of years ago downtown. And I could tell, like, I felt like if he looks over, at least he'll acknowledge that it's CQ. He must have seen me over the 100 years I've been inflicting myself on the public. And he'll have to have a moment, a glimmer, where he's like, oh, it's not just a fan stopped and looked at me.
Yeah.
But he just looked over and pissed me off.
You should have tripped him.
Yeah.
That works.
But nothing's more anger-producing than Phil not saying his name. And then you guys...
Let's not start the phone etiquette conversation, because I think you lose that one.
I'm Chaz.
Hi, it's AJ.
That's AJ.
Hi, it's Colin.
Hi, Colin.
It's the great Colin. Well, I just saw you on the Tonight Show.
CQ.
You're on the Tonight Show recently.
Yeah, that was a repeat. But
there
yeah,
was some other. There was some other girl singer on the show, like
some other girl singer show.
Taylor something.
Oh yeah, I was on the last two times I've been on was with Billie Eilish and Taylor Swift. I'm big with the teenage kids.
You're huge, exactly right.
Is that weird?
You're the ride home.
No, it's not like the old days with Elvis, where it's like the whole crowd's there for them. You know.
Yeah.
When you're
nobody cares about anything anymore, you know.
When you're in a green room for the Tonight Show, and Taylor Swift is performing, is she in the same green room with you, or does she get a different room?
No, they all get different rooms.
Oh,
really?
How fancy.
Yeah.
I think that takes the fun away from it.
Yeah, no sharing muffins, nothing.
No, you just say, you're across the hall usually, you know, but it's a very small hall. But, yeah, they have like 20 people in their green rooms, you know.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you don't want to be in there. A lot of hairspray and perfume.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
Yep.
They're all the people with them, yeah.
Mindless chatter saying, oh, my God.
When you're in that green room for the how many times have you been on The Tonight Show? When was your first time?
I don't know. I mean, I turned down The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson. That's the kind of cocky guy I am.
Look at you.
Are you serious?
In the late 80s, his producer came to see me, and he goes, you know, Johnny would love you. Just put together the set without cursing, and I'll get you on. I go, I don't do that. I do it the way I do it. And he starts laughing, goes, why? What are you doing? I go, no, that's just how I am.
Yep.
I thought I was being Mr. Like Integrity.
The C was for cocky back then. Cocky Quinn.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Instead of a complete ass that I was.
No, you know what it is? You are a genius, and you don't care to be successful.
Right.
It seems like you don't care.
Not with the money.
I do care, but I just don't like to. What am I going to do? Just act like hey, and just be a certain way. You know, you still have to be who you are.
Yes,
I do care. I'd love to be.
I believe there are other comedians who had curse word filled sets that adjusted for the Tonight Show.
Yeah, I believe so. You might say any comedian.
You're probably the only one.
They're
who
still
said
dazed.
No.
Yeah, they're still dazed. He said no.
I have a few mental problems. You know?
Do you know of anyone else who said no to Johnny Carson's Tonight Show because they
in
would have...
In my mind, I was trying to keep up the tradition of George Carlin and Richard Pryor.
Oh, okay.
But they were on the Tonight Show.
So was Sam Kinison.
I mean, someday Colin will also. Not with Johnny anymore, but yeah.
I didn't remember that because there was no YouTube in those days.
Right, see?
Ah, that's right.
Didn't have a reference point, for God's sake. Yeah. Could have called them.
I didn't remember. Yeah, they were on. Of course they were.
We should have called you. Sorry.
Didn't Carlin do Hippy Dippy Weatherman?
I think he did all that. They did
Al Sleet.
He was a regular bit on the Tonight Show.
Yep.
Yeah.
So wild.
Yeah. I don't know what my problem was, but I definitely had one. But in a way, it doesn't matter because, you know, like at that, you know, it wasn't like the Tonight Show in the 70s. It's like the late 80s. So, you know, it's not like, ooh, the Tonight Show. Johnny's going to call me over to the couch. Like, I was kind of corny too at that point.
Yeah, you didn't want to go through the whole, is he going to call me over to the couch or not?
I could have cared less. I felt like it was over by then. It was over by my 82.
When were you on Saturday Night Live?
The 90s.
In the 80s.
Late 90s.
Late oh, 90s. In the 90s. Yeah. Okay, so before you're on Saturday Night Live, you say no to the Tonight Show with Johnny Carson.
But I was on MTV at the time, so I was, you know, I wasn't without a certain cockiness at that
point. You were not an unknown.
You had buzz. You had notoriety. You
were a little bit of a little bit of juice there.
Yeah, see,
you were doing that.
I made sure that quickly dissipated in the early 90s. By the way,
no, juice don't last.
It seems like anytime you're about to hit it really big, you're like, eh, screw that.
Well, it's not just me, but yes, it's partially me. I'll take my share of that blame. Not, you know, here's what would happen. In addition to all the other problems,
right.
But one of the problems is I would go in and go, great, I want to do this. And they would go, no, you're going to just be the actor. And I'm like, no, I'm the writer, too. And most times that would be off-putting.
You know what, though? There is something to that. Because you would have been, you know, you could have been like Urkel.
All right.
On a sitcom.
Well, that's the other point. Yeah. You know? They just put you in anything they want, you know?
Yeah.
And so most of it is so stupid. And it's not like if they had a success record in movies or TV, if you looked at movies and TV and go, you know what, their success record is at least over 50%. But it's like 15%.
Yeah.
So they don't know what they're doing.
Right.
So come on. But anyway, it was there's ways to do that, like anything else, and there's ways not to do it. And I'm pretty sure I did it the way you're not supposed to do it.
Colin Quinn is on. How did you find your? And by the way, he's coming to Norwalk, Wall Street Theater, on Saturday. How did you find your way onto Saturday Night Live?
First of all, let me just say, my friend Fred Wolf said. They'll audition you to Saturday Night Live. He was working there already, and he was a big writer there. And so they were looking at people. He got me on the list of people to see. And to give you the idea of the kind of set I had, how successful my set was, they looked at me and said, we'll hire him as a writer. He's a very good writer. His performing skills are lacking.
No.
I bombed so badly at this set, but my material was good. I bombed. Oh, my God.
That's the thing about it.
This is when comedy wasn't very hot. So what they had to do to get a crowd in, they bust in, and I swear to God this is true, they bust in 200 kids from a camp. It was the middle of summer. And they bust in 200 kids from some summer camp. So
fat
like
camp.
Yeah, like a fat camp, basically. It wasn't a fat camp, but it was like a camp. So it's 200 goddamn 15-year-olds. Like, I can't make them laugh.
Unless you felt the stage.
And the guy before me destroyed, by the way.
Oh, yeah?
He killed. They loved him.
Anyone we ever heard of?
I don't remember who the hell it was, but no, I don't think it was anybody famous.
Yeah.
But I mean, but either way, I just remember going up there and going, oh, my God. And then right away, I start rambling, and, you know, these kids are 15, and then, you know, some surly guy just trying to throw his references around. And, it went really bad.
Yeah, it seems like your whole career has been, you've had a lot of integrity in terms of this is who I am. Now, you might be in front of a live audience and edit your jokes as you go along based on what you think is going to land, but you never change who you are.
Always played to your strengths.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't care. You don't care.
You know, what are you gonna, you have to be yourself, I guess, you know.
So you get on Saturday Night Live as a writer. How do you end up on the Weekend Update?
It was just a transitional time, so I started doing those little update segments where I was like Mayan, and I was Joe Blow, and really those were my happiest times doing those, you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Why, no pressure?
No, it was pressure. I mean, you're going live on TV and Saturday Night Live, but I mean, that lend myself doing those little, like, you know, street characters I wrote myself and just went up and did little 3-minute monologues was fun, you know, and it was my kind of stuff that I love doing.
Right. And that was my really, you're
stuff.
Still doing it. I mean, this is what people come to you for.
Yeah. It's,
you're a rock star.
Yeah, I love
known for.
You've really cornered the market on it. Like, it is it's your signature.
It's all you.
Yeah. So you were doing that and on television,
me.
People were loving it.
It's all you.
I don't even know people noticed, but I was loving it. Yes. It was love. I love doing it. Like, there's certain things you just feel like, this is fun, you know?
Yeah.
And there's certain things you feel like, okay, I have to work on this, you know?
How old are you when you're on Saturday Night Live?
I'm like 30, mid-30s.
That's awesome. So you're on MTV. You're offered the Tonight Show. Then you're on Saturday Night Live. Then you get your own show on Comedy Central.
Right.
It's the time slot known now for The Daily Show. You were before The Daily Show.
No, we were right after. We went on after The Daily Show was already on.
Oh.
So we were on right after.
That wasn't the Jon Stewart Daily Show.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, it was.
Nice.
Wow. That was some show. That was, I think, the last great television show. Live, improv.
Yeah. Yes. Well, that was the whole point. My whole point was this, which I tried, you know, was varying degrees of success. I don't know how the reverberations have not been great, but which I said, if I want everybody, we're all comedians, we're all funny. I sit at the table. People are being funny. They're not really preparing. So if we're as funny as we think, just throw everybody up there, give them a couple of hours to tell them what we're talking about, and then just go. And that's what the whole idea was. So we have a political discussion that would turn into attacking somebody's shirt. And
shirt was me. You had to be very careful on that show with what you wore.
Yes.
Yeah. Because in the middle of some important discussion, people would just start noticing, and then they would just jump in. And, it was really, really fun, you know.
It was a great crew of people. Really, really funny. Great premises. How much stuff had to end up, on the editing room floor?
Well, very little. I mean, the editors would cut for time, but they left almost everything in there.
Wow.
The content, yeah.
Yeah, and it got very, I mean, you saw that. I mean, it was like, at that time, it was shocking. Today, we would probably be in prison for that show. You know?
Yes. I was, Colin Quinn is on. He's coming to a Wall Street Theater in Norwalk Saturday. We're linked up for tickets. And it's a brand new show, by the way.
Huge.
I was watching it last week, just kind of refreshing myself.
Yes.
I was like, I'm surprised they have not pulled this stuff down. you can't even do anything cool on the internet anymore. They pull it down.
Seriously.
That used to be the wild west.
Believe me.
Yeah.
I'm shocked, too.
And it was on television.
I know. I think they just haven't seen it and flagged it. But, it's shocking, definitely.
So this show that you're going to be doing Saturday, I'm bummed that it's not streaming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you have to go. People are ready to go. People are ready to go out.
Can't get out.
What is this?
Yeah, Omicron's gone. No one's even thinking about it.
Yeah.
Sorry. I'm joking.
It's this is what about America, the state we're in now?
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of it's about living in a place of two cults, because nobody can deny that right now you're living in two cults. The left and the right both have, you know, solidified into these crazy cults, and extremism is the new norm, and it's just insane. When I talk to most people I know, I can't even believe it.
No.
And that goes to both sides.
Yes.
I'm a real both sides-er, which we know is a derogatory. That's offensive to people if you're a both sides-er today. People feel like that's terrible. That's the worst thing you can be.
Yeah, you have to either be completely in.
Yep.
Yep.
Pick one or the other.
Or you're the enemy.
And that's, guess what that reminds me of? Probably prelude to war. That's how it is. Probably before war, where people are like, you can't be a both sides-er. And just the way people speak about each other. It's so insane to me, and it's so, in addition to being, you know, they don't understand when they're standing, you know, in the middle of a war, they're like, what happened? You happened, idiot.
Hey, you caused us, doofus.
Yes.
Right. That is true. Hey, look where we're getting our information from.
Right.
People like me. Like, what the hell?
Me, yeah.
What is wrong here?
Like, oh, God, we're doomed.
Yep.
I like to, you know, like, if we have to evaluate this like a playoff weekend, I would like the chances of the red team because they have all the weapons and the bullets.
Right.
However, the blue team has the technology, so they could wipe out the red team with just drones, never even leave the basement.
Oh, that's scary.
That's exactly right.
So I feel like the red team may find themselves like at the beginning of the Terminator movie, living in a cave, and there are machines chasing them down to kill them.
Got to blow up the basements.
That's right. That's exactly right.
What I love about your show is, and I've been to all of the ones in the last few years, that whatever team you're on, whatever cult you're in, or if you're not even paying attention, you're going to laugh.
Yep.
It's a good time. It's not like, hey, how stupid is this group? It is.
I hate lecture comedy. If you're not getting laughs, you're misrepresenting. It's false advertising. You're a comedian, so you should be eliciting laughter during your show.
Yes.
You know, that's, if I'm lecturing and I have the deepest, most profound point in the world and it doesn't get a laugh, it doesn't belong in the show. This is comedy.
Right.
That's what I'm advertising, a comedian.
Yes. He's a comedian who actually tells jokes.
Yes.
Yes, they're all jokes.
Not all of them land. Like if he's at De Niro's 60th birthday party.
None of them landed there, to be honest with you.
No, that was a long 18 minutes.
Yep, just to fly around.
My favorite part of that story is the conversation after outside on the sidewalk with Robin Williams.
Yeah.
Well, how about the conversation 12 years later when I was like, you know what, maybe I exaggerated that because it's a funny story. It wasn't that bad. And me and Jim Norton are outside the cellar. De Niro was researching that movie that he was doing.
Yeah.
And he was with his wife. So we're talking to them for a minute, a pleasant conversation. And Jim Norton goes, hey, remember when he bombed at your birthday party?
Oh, no.
Their face is darkened with hate.
His eyes turned black.
Yo.
Norton will tell you it was ugly. Apparently, I didn't imagine it.
My favorite part of that story is classic, and there's like 8 favorite parts, but one of my favorite parts is when, because De Niro's wife asked you to do a couple of minutes, and you said, oh, yeah, no problem. I'm not going to do a couple of minutes. I'm going to do 18 minutes. And while you're bombing, you look at her leaning over to Robert and mouthing the words, I'm sorry. And you still kept going.
Right.
Well, because I said there's got to be a way. I've got to dig my way out of this. I knew there was going to be a rainbow at the end of it, and it never came.
Never came.
It was outside.
There's a way out of this. I'm going to hit something that's going to turn this around, and it never happened.
Never happened.
Also, Robin Williams sitting at the table, and someone goes, go help him.
Go help him. His wife. Go help him.
lifeline.
And he goes, no, he doesn't want that.
And he's right. Can you imagine the shame that would have washed over me if Robin Williams came up and saved the day and I'm standing like the dolt that I am?
Yeah. Drenched in sweat.
Every detail and layer just makes it better.
Just jump on the sword, man. That's
really should be a movie. I have some other ideas for you, too. Like, I think that I got to go, but we got to have you back.
Yes.
And have a great show Saturday, brother.
This was the Chaz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Chaz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.